Amen. Praise God. Are you determined?
Yes.
No? Yeah? Y'all determined people to live for the King?
Yes.
Amen. Invincible? More than conquerors, overcomers? Giant killers by the Holy Ghost? Is that y'all? Glory to God. Jake, Christy, if y'all have that video of the pictures of the generator, would you just click it up there? See, there's our generator church that's got all set up now in Guatemala with the kids at the orphanage. How about that big yellow thing? Praise God. A lot of good things going on right now. So that generator's hooked up. We're no longer in darkness. But light surrounds us. It's a diesel generator. And so everything's in there going with that. They had a big building crew down there two weeks ago. And got a lot of things accomplished. A lot of good things are going on. We're making some good progress with a lot of different projects. And so all that is good. Amen. While daily more children are coming into the orphanage. In one thing, it's a good thing. In another thing, it's a sad thing. There's just a lot of depravity down there and in people's lives and a lot of hurting families and children. But praise God, the ministry is there. They're getting blessed. They're getting educated. You know, the great thing about it is we've worked with these orphans for so long that now we have six or seven kids that are in college that now they've already been raised up and going into college. And, you know, that's right. It's a big deal. It's the first group of kids that have, they were a little older when they came. They were the first kids that were like 10 years old, 10, 12 years old. And so now they've grown up there, but we still have enough influence in their life and that they want to be all kinds of great things in life and go on in life and affect their world. Amen. So it's a good thing. Good thing. So anyway, praise God for all that. Now, I'm starting a message this morning, and you realize that we're coming to Easter at the end of this month. It's the fifth Sunday. It's a five-Sunday month. So the fifth Sunday of April, the last Sunday of April, is Easter service. What'd I say? Okay, March. No wonder y'all looking at me so silly. The end of this month. We are the 1st of March today. Okay, so the end of this month is Easter. And I was talking to the Sunday school class this morning, and I just want to tell all y'all too that, you know, Easter service to me is the highlight of the year for me. I love Christmas, but I love Easter because we would have no Easter. We'd have no reason to be here if there was no resurrection. And that's the center of all of our faith is the resurrection. And I know that there's a lot of people that don't usually go to church, but they only come to church on Easter or Christmas service, okay? And so I want to ask all you great saints to just really be praying this month, to really spend some extra time in your prayer time and just believing for God to bring people from the north, the south, the east, and the west into service on Easter Sunday morning. You get them here, and I'll throw down the fire, okay? So that's the deal. But we really just want to... my heart is just at this time, and I'm preaching about grace. I want to start this message today and preach on grace up until Easter, because it's just what the Lord is stirring in me about how great things are and how we don't really walk in it. But anyway, so can I have y'all's agreement on that? Y'all just pray extra hard for people to just be here and to come, and amen? So y'all show me your hands, you're going to pray. Okay, I want to see. All right. Now you held it up. You're responsible. You're guilty. You have to answer for it. I got you into it. Amen? So anyway, it's going to be great. The other thing that Joseph didn't announce that is in the Sunday right after Easter, which is, I believe, the 7th of April, Bethany and Andrew and their children are going to be here from the Guatemalan orphanage. And they'll be here ministering. Actually, they're going to be here for the week. And so they'll minister Sunday and Wednesday. And then if we want to do some services in between, they'll be here to do that. So, you know, this church ordained them, and they're down there working on your behalf. So get ready to get blessed by them and to bless them. Amen. You don't want to miss it. I think Bethany and Andrew are the two sweetest people I've ever met on the face of the earth. I've never seen anybody as sweet as they are, and genuinely sweet. Not just sweet to your face and talk bad about you when you leave. I mean, these people have got love oozing out of them. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing. So anyway, well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And let's start in the book of Romans chapter 5 here this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And the title of this message is Selective Grace. I'll explain that in a minute, but the title is Selective Grace. Now, my wife says that I have selective hearing and also selective vision. I definitely know that I have selective smell. You know, I mean, if there's a peach cobbler cooking, you know, apple pie, you know, I come from afar. If it's broccoli, steaming, you know. I know she's going to make me eat it, and I don't really want to, you know. So there's no joy in that. But I have selective smell, you know. And it's the truth. I'm sometimes just dumbfounded as how she can tell me that there's something in the icebox or something in some location, and she can say it's right there, you know, the second shelf, right there to the right, and I can stare right in there, and the thing ain't there. And then she can go there, and somehow it magically appears. I always think it's kind of a setup, you know. It was really somewhere else, and she moved it over there at that moment because I didn't see it. Can I have an amen from you guys? Amen. And then it's always, you don't ever look. You can't ever see. You don't ever see anything except what's right in front of you. You know, and it's kind of like that. I have selective vision. I do have selective hearing. I know that. I only hear certain things. And, I'm like a lot of you guys. When I get around crowds, I have a hard time hearing people. And now I'm getting to the place to where they say things, and I think, surely they didn't say that. And then I have to do a translation in my head, and then I can, come up with it. But then I carry that over. I do. I carry it over. I milk it pretty good and hear what I want to hear. Well, we get used to this, and we get accustomed to this, but what happens also is we use selective grace. In other words, we really are appreciative of God's grace in certain areas, but in other areas of our life, we would rather do it by works. In other words, yes, we want to freely receive salvation and to be forgiven of our sins, but then we really kind of want to do good works to make God happy. And we don't really want to use His grace in those areas because it makes us feel good. We don't want everything free. I think it's called pride, but we'll deal with that later. And so what we do in life is we take the gospel and we read it, and the parts that we know we don't stand a chance to accomplish it, we're so thankful and great for His grace. Oh, God, thank you for your grace. But then on the other hand, if there's something over here that, we will look at a person or we will judge a person, we'll say, well, if you just straighten up and fly right, everything would be okay with you. In other words, we put it into a works situation. And the bottom line is what I want to do in this month of March is just show you about how amazing God's grace really is and how we're really, our attitude is supposed to be about His grace. We're supposed to walk in grace in every area of our life. If anything you're trying to earn God's favor for, that is under the old law, that is under works. And I want to tell you something, you're going to fall short. And the reason why you're going to fall short is not that you're not good, not that you aren't talented, okay? Not that you aren't really amazing. But when the mark is perfection, you're going to fall short. Hello? You with me? There's so many things in life that some people naturally can do well. You know, like maybe you could
naturally play golf well, or you naturally had athletic ability to do certain things, and it just comes real easy for you to play basketball or to dribble or to shoot. And then you can work on yourself and get yourself a little better, but you're still above average than everybody else. I say that's absolutely not fair, because that never happened to me. But it does happen. Y'all with me? There's some people, like my wife, has an ear to hear music. And I mean, you can't, I would like to get mad at her. I can sit there and play my guitar, and I don't play my guitar. I can hear when I'm off, but I have to kind of, like, it doesn't bother me. Tim did it the other day. We were playing our guitars up here, Bill and I, and he says, well, I think you're just a little sharper. You're a little flat. I'm like, yeah, sounds good to me. Go ahead, play it. Ain't nobody but you and Laura can hear in church, and so everybody else is going to think it's going to sound good, so don't worry about it, you know? But he can hear it, and she can hear it. And it's like a natural given ability. It is a natural given ability to just, they just can pick it up and hear it. It isn't in me. I can get mad about it. I can want it. I can wish it. I can pray for it, but it ain't there. I don't have it. It's just not there. Y'all follow me? I've yet to find the one thing that I just picked up and could naturally, easily do. Well, I guess that would be one. That's just because I got the gift of gab anointed. What a gift. Hey, he's a good talker. His guitar is off, but he's a good talker. I mean, that's kind of like saying, yeah, I have the gift to eat. Yeah, I don't know, but I just love to eat. Well, I'm discouraged now. Yeah, with me. I once really thought I could play a fiddle. I just knew I could play it. I just knew if I could pick that sucker up, I could just naturally just play it. Man, if you'd have been killing cats, it wouldn't have sounded any worse. But I just knew I could. Just give it to me. It's just going to happen. It didn't. But what I'm saying is if we're going to work for anything, you're going to work, I'm going to be a better Christian. And you're trying to do it by, okay, I'm going to be a better Christian, so I'm going to just not do this. That still works, church. Now, do we need to do good works? Yes. Do we need to curve our behavior? Yes. But I want to tell you, the power source is not your ability. The power source has to be the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, empowering you to do it. Otherwise, it's works. It has to be, Lord, I see that this is a weakness in my life, and I can try to behave better, but I really need the power of your Spirit working in me to change me so that I'm not like that. Now you're dependent upon His grace and His power to bring victory in your life, not your ability to say, well, I'm just not going to do that anymore. Like some people that are really good at, well, I really like to fast and pray. It really may not be grace. It may be a works because you're just really good at dieting. If you even mention the word diet around me, I'm instantaneously hungry. I may not have been hungry all day long. You say, you were going to go on a diet. I'm hungry. Yo, just famished. Just like I'm not going to, weak. I start to have the shakes from lack of food. The same is as if ever, I've been around a few times where like the pastor called, like, okay, we're going to have a fast. And I'm like, wow, that's going to be tough. But there's been other times in my life the Holy Spirit's prompted me and said, listen, I need you to fast this and pray about this. And it was so easy because it was by His power and His strength through me, not my works. Are y'all with me, church? Anything you're trying to do by works, you're never going to hit the mark that's set, which is perfection. You've got to learn to walk in grace by the power and the Spirit of God working through you through everything that you have to walk through. If you're not dependent upon the Holy Ghost to set you free, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 17, if you turn there, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace." How much is an abundance of grace? More than enough, right? Okay, now, let's put this in perspective. All right? If you've received an abundance of grace, and you're trying to figure out how big an abundance is, and the God that we serve says all of the world is nothing but a drip in the palm of his hand, then how big is that abundance? If we serve a God who makes worlds, man, did y'all go out and look at the stars last night? Anybody see the stars last night? Oh, my. I mean, I felt like Father Abraham looking up the stars last night. It's like, look at all those stars. Look like you could just touch them. Look like you could just pull them out. He makes worlds in 6 days and sits down and takes a rest. And he says, I want to give you, through Jesus, abundance of grace. That means there's more grace than you could ever use or need. It says, much more those who receive abundance of grace and, it gets better, and the gift of righteousness, and the gift of righteousness, and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Will reign. Reigning in life means you're reigning, you're in charge. And you're ruling and reigning, and it's good because there's an abundance of grace and righteousness. Wow. And before this, you were just a dirty old sinner. Didn't stand a chance to ever get into heaven. Didn't stand a chance to ever have an audience with God. Didn't stand a chance to have your great ability to be perfect. And all of a sudden, you went from that to stepping over into woo-hoo, abundance, reigning in life in righteousness. You say, but I don't really feel any different. Well, you haven't caught the revelation. You hadn't caught the revelation. You haven't got hold of everything that the gospel has for you. You haven't grabbed hold of the revelation of everything Jesus bought and paid for you on that cross. And when he was resurrected on Easter Sunday morning and came up out of the grave, what he signed, sealed, and delivered for you and for me. We're not walking in it. And the reason why is because we're using selective grace. We're holding on to the grace that when we die, we'll go to heaven, but we're not really walking in and reigning in life by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, working this grace in us and that we're standing in to bring us victory. We keep thinking we're going to do it. And the more we get out of the way and the more we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, the greater reigning in life you're going to be doing in this gift of grace and this gift of righteousness. Amen? Let's look at another scripture here. Just go up. We're still in Romans chapter 5, but go up to verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we all stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Listen, go back and look at that. Through whom we also have access by faith unto this grace in which we stand. Our position in life with Jesus is in the position of grace. Now, there's a lot of definitions you'll always hear about grace. You hear grace is God's unmerited favor. You hear different things. But I like to say grace is God's willingness to use his power and his ability on your behalf. His willingness to. You know, I go by and I see Bill because it's rained for a chance. For, you know, it rained and Bill's stuck on the bar ditch. And I drive by and I have a tow rope. And it'd be my willingness to use my power and my ability to pull him out, right? But what's so amazing about God is God sees us stuck in the ditch in life, sees us stuck in the mud in life, and it's that he wanted to, he was seeking to get us out. In the case between what I just example about me and Bill, I just happened by and saw him. But God was looking to get you out. God wanted to get you out. He wanted to use his power and his ability to deliver you. He's just waiting for you to just call on him. The two things I'm going to show you in this message as we go through it over the next few weeks is you've got to understand the power of God's Holy Spirit working in grace. It's the Holy Spirit and grace. And if you don't get that, then you're just trying to do grace by your works. No, it's grace and the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get it done. You might as well throw your pride out the window because you are not going to get it done. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, moving through you, helping you, encouraging you, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, don't do that. You know, this is probably story number 47 in my list of stories. You know, I think I see a lot of new faces, so I think I need to back up and tell the whole thing. You know, I'm not much of telling jokes, but this is a good one. This old boy moved up to Alaska, and they were way up on this town up in Alaska, and just everybody would go in there to the local bar. And so this guy was a total newcomer, and he went into the bar, and he's sitting at the bar, and everybody's sitting around having a drink, and he's trying to fit in, talk to the locals, and make himself, you know, known to everybody. And so in a minute, some guy hollered up, number 46, and then everybody just fell over laughing, just laughed, and hee-hawed and laughed. So the guy was like, what in the world? You know, but he didn't say anything. He didn't want to, you know, show that he didn't know what was going on as a newcomer. And so here in a minute, another guy said, number 26. And everybody just fell over laughing and laughing. So finally he said, man, what is going on? And he said, we've told so many stories, you know, over and over again. We're telling the same story. So we decided we'd just number them to keep us from having to go through telling the story. And so we just shout out the number. And then everybody remembers the story and we laugh. And that way we don't have to tell the story. And the guy said, really? He said, could I try one? And he said, yeah. I said, try number 14. And so in a minute, the guy hollers, number 14. And everybody, nothing. Nobody laughed. Everybody just looked at him. And he said, man, what happened? He says, well, I don't know. Sometimes some people can tell a story and some can't. So I tell so many stories, you know, I ought to number them all and just tell y'all the number. And y'all can just laugh and go on. But because I see a few new faces this morning, you probably don't know the numbering system, so I get to tell the story. There was a time when I was working as a carpenter. We were working in this two-story house, and we were remodeling it. It was an older home, and it was one of these older homes where you have like an upstairs that goes out onto a porch balcony that's open. And this house hadn't been lived in, you know, probably 5 or 6, 7 years. And so everything was dusty and dirty and cobwebs and spiders and all kinds of stuff around in this thing. So we're all a little jumpy about everything that was around there. You know, and then, of course, you got a bunch of guys, you know, we're looking through the closets, and it's a kind of an older home, you know, or it is an older home. And, you know, so, you know, we're looking and thinking everything's going to jump out at us and whatever. And so we're a little goosey. And I was just learning to walk with Jesus at this time. And
I'll never forget it. I was praying that morning. I always prayed, God, lead me and guide me. Just show me, speak to me, let me use me, power of the Holy Spirit, just work through me. And I was always, you know, praying like this. And so anyway, I walked up to this doorknob, and when I reached out and grabbed hold of that doorknob, inside of my spirit just went whoop. Hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I was like, whoa. And it was leading to the outside, and I'm like, now what is that? And it was just me standing in the room. And so I got over, there's a window, and I tried to look around that window to see what was behind that door, and I couldn't see anything. And so I thought, well, that's stupid. And so I reached up and touched that doorknob again. As soon as it whoop, just on the inside of me, I said, holy cow. So I had to stand back. I don't know what I'm doing, you know. I'm one of those young Christians with just like a machine gun full of prayers. I just shoot everything and hope it hits something, you know. And so I rebuked and I bound and I cursed and I did everything in the world. And I grabbed that doorknob again. Whoop, same thing. I thought, well, that's just stupid. I don't know what to do, but I got to walk out that door. And I jerked that door open, and there was a yellow jacket nest about that big on the other side of that door. And by that time, the other carpenter had come up because he was waiting for me on the porch to throw something up, and he came up to see what was wrong. And so these yellow jackets flew in, began to sting us. We were running, screaming, trying to get out of there, you know. And we got down, finally got away from them. And I remember they stung me on the ear, you know, a couple of hits on each ear. And the Holy Spirit said to me, maybe next time you'll listen. See, sometimes we're like that in life. We just don't want to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to us and talking to us and trying to help us in this life of grace. We just kind of want to do it ourselves and have our own abilities and our own knowledge, and we jerk open some doors that probably should have stayed shut. Right? They should have stayed shut. And we've got to learn to listen as the Holy Spirit wants to work, because we're standing in grace. That's our position, in grace. You're not in and out. You're supposed to be standing in grace, walking in everything he does, everything he has for us, everything he's bought for us. Your rights and your privileges are not because you're good. Your rights and privileges are because you're standing in grace under the blood of Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. Y'all with me? We've got to grab hold of what grace really is. God's willingness to use his power and his ability on our behalf because he's looking for us. He's wanting to work with us. Sometimes in life we say, have you ever said, you don't have to give me a show of hands and don't look down because I know I hit you right between the eyes. Have you ever said, I really need to change that in my life. That, you know, you see something about yourself that's not godly and you think, I really need to change that in my life. But then you didn't do anything about it. The reason why is you're not standing in grace. You're looking at it as you have to do it by works. I step up to this pulpit every Sunday and every Wednesday for the last 20 years. And I don't step up here thinking, oh, I got this covered. I step up here every time saying, Lord, if you're not with me and it's not anointed, I might as well stay home. But as long as I keep seeing people saved and healed and delivered and lives changing and transforming, then I know the anointing is still flowing, so then I keep going. But if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't be doing anything. I would just be Robert Richards, good old boy, that y'all'd like to meet and talk to because I got always full of stories. But to set you free or to give you a word that could change your life, I wouldn't have it. You could only look at my life then and say, well, if Robert could do it, I could do it. And we'd all be doing it by works. It's got to be by grace, church. It has got to be by grace. His amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. It was written by a slave trader. Amazing grace was. It wasn't written by saintly hymn writer. It was written by a slave trader who got saved. It said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Ladies, can y'all go ahead and bring the communion down here right now?
This grace that Jesus paid for us is so amazing. It's more than words can describe. We cannot live a life anymore deceived by the devil. Deceived by works. We've got to live a life of standing in grace. This morning we're going to take communion. It's our first Sunday communion service. You know, here at Living Waters Church, we have an open communion service. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to take communion with us this morning. Church, don't walk outside of the covenants and promises of God. Don't walk and live a life in works, but live a life by the power of the Holy Spirit. This amazing grace is so easy to access because all it does is, all it's required is that we, by faith, enter into it. By faith, we enter into this grace. That means that you accept what the Bible says is true and you believe it in your heart. That through confession of your mouth and belief in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven. And if your sins are forgiven, then you are white as snow. And if the sins you're going to commit this afternoon and tomorrow, that means that they're forgiven also. That means you live a life of standing in grace. It means that you allow the Holy Spirit into your life to help you to become more like Christ. Not by your power, not by your ability, but by His. You enter it by faith. If you're troubled today, if you've got problems going on in your life today, if your life is a mess, if you think you've wrecked it, then you know what? By faith, as you come up and take communion, by faith, let Jesus come into your life and let the power of the Holy Spirit begin to work things out. If you say, well, I can't do it, I've tried. I know, get out of the way and let Him do it. Put your faith in Him and in this great grace you stand in. I know, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, and as a pastor, I don't do everything right. In my job as a builder, I don't do everything right. But you know what? I stand in grace. And I'm smart enough to get to the foot of the throne and use His ability and His power that He's willing to deliver me with on my behalf and say, Lord, I can't make it. I can't do it. I can't get it done. And then let the Holy Spirit work and deliver me and set me free. Let the Holy Spirit work and set everything up and arrange everything. And by faith, I just say, Lord, You're going to arrange everything. I don't know how it's going to work, but You're going to arrange everything. I just trust You. I believe in You. You're going to make it all work out right. You're going to set it all in its course. You're going to bring about, Lord, I just believe You. And every day I just worship Him and praise Him and say, God, just thank You that You're in control and not me. It's a great life. It's a great life. We, by faith, access His grace. So whatever you have need of this morning, it's already here. You can come to this altar this morning and you can receive whatever you need. Amen. Today's the day. Today's the day. Amen. Can I have my pastoral team come up so I can serve you and you can help me serve everyone else? I think the song to play is Amazing Grace.
Jesus. On that night he was betrayed, he took bread. He blessed it. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, now take and eat. For this is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat it in remembrance of me. Church, it's a loaf of bread. It's a simple loaf. But by faith, everything that Jesus suffered on that cross, all the pain, the suffering, all that he suffered was for you, so that you could be set free, so that you could receive his grace into your life, to heal your brokenness. This morning, I can feel this pounding in my heart, and I know it's the truth. Church, there's some of us in here today. Maybe a lot of us in here today. That you've held on to past hurts and pains. The wrongs that people have done to you. The discouraging moments of things that didn't happen the way you thought that they should happen. You've held on to them for so long, trying by your works to do it. You're totally and completely miserable. You put on a good face, but inside your heart, you're miserable. And I want you to know today, by faith, this broken bread was Jesus' brokenness for you, so that you could be whole and healed. And if you would, by faith, access his grace today, by the power of his Holy Spirit, he'll come into your heart and he'll heal you. He'll set you free. You can't do anything. You've already been trying to. You can't get it done. All you have to do is let the power of the Holy Spirit do it in you. Don't miss it this morning. It's right here at the altar for you. And then he took the cup and he said, this cup, it's a new covenant. It's not the old covenant by works. It's a new covenant. It's a new covenant that's poured out in my blood for you, for the forgiveness of sin. Church, listen to me. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. There's no sense fooling yourself. There's no sense deceiving yourself, saying, well, I'm a pretty good person. Pretty good, don't cut it. Getting close is only two things it works in. Coming close. That's hand grenades and horseshoes. The rest of it, it don't cut it. Because the mark, remember, is perfection. His amazing grace, his blood poured out for us. For the forgiveness of our sins. By faith today, church, access this grace. And let your sins be forgiven and washed and cleansed. Amen. So I'm going to serve this group down here, and then get your hearts prepared, church, to come up and receive and access this grace this morning.